And now the game where we ask people who have done a lot about something they never noticed because, frankly, they were too busy. About 30 years ago, an obscure comedian named David Letterman was given a time slot after The Tonight Show became a huge star. Then that time slot was given to an unknown comedy writer named Conan O'Brien. He's a huge star. Now hosting a show in that time slot, former Saturday Night Live star Jimmy Fallon. Will he follow his predecessors to talk show stardom? Well, probably not, because unlike them, he agreed to come on this show. Jimmy Fallon, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Well, I'm so happy. Thank you.
Key career error.
Peter, thank you so much. Carl, thank you, everybody. Thanks for having me.
We're excited.
It's not over yet.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, I thought I was going to say goodbye to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, just in case I don't get around to it, it was great.
Yeah, thank you.
You won, too, by the way.
Oh, my God. I'm so excited. Thanks, yeah. Carl.
Well, I want to talk to you about the experience of creating a talk show, but first, a little biography. From what we were able to tell, you have always wanted to be a comedian on TV. That's what you told people in high school.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, it's weird. My mom, of course, told me, it's always your mother that remembers these things. She said, do you remember your eighth grade yearbook? They made a prophecy and said James Fallon will most likely replace David Letterman.
Wow.
And it was weird. Yeah, well, my principal was Nostradamus. So, I mean, that had something to do with it. Yeah, I guess maybe it planted a seed in my head back then, but I don't remember, I never really thought, like, oh, well, that would happen to me. But
well, what was David Letterman doing at that time? Maybe he was still...
He was a weatherman in Indianapolis.
He was a weatherman in Indianapolis.
And someday, my friend, you will achieve that dream. You need to move to Indianapolis.
There's a line of thunderstorms moving through Terre Haute.
But you, I'm told that you were like, you were telling me, I'm going to be on Saturday Night Live. And by a ridiculously young age, you were on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, I mean, I used to tape the show and watch it every Saturday at my house. So my parents would let me, drink underage if I didn't leave the house.
Right.
So my parents would buy me a six-pack of beer. I'd sit by myself with a bag of chips, and I'd watch Saturday Night Live. And I know I'm such a nerd. And I would tape, but I thought it was cool. But, I'm almost like a human TiVo. I would tape it, and just the funny sketches, I would save that, and I would bring them to parties. I'd physically come in with a videotape and be like, you got to watch this. And I'd put in some, funny Mike Myers, Dana Carvey thing or something.
That's great. So when you showed up at Saturday Night Live, did you tell them all this?
Yeah, I mean, I was a little embarrassed at first. I mean, I was just, like, referencing everything and just freaking out when people were doing characters. And I really wasn't cool at all. I was
a
little
annoyed. Did you show them some of your old tapes?
Yeah. I still have all my old tapes. I have every show on tape since 86.
Wow. Well, let's talk about this. So I'm not quite sure how it happened. Lorne Michaels and NBC said, yes, you were the guy. You were going to be replacing, I guess you were replacing Conan. Conan went to The Tonight Show. You went to Late Night.
Yeah. When I was leaving Saturday Night Live, I my contract was up. And I said, Lorne, I'm going to go. And he's like, well, what do you want to do? And I go, I probably want to do movies, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what I was going to do. And he's like, well, Conan signed a contract. He's leaving. He's going to host The Tonight Show in 5 years. So in 5 years, I think he'd be a great replacement. And I think Tina Fey was in the room at the time. She was like, yeah, I think he'd be good. I go, oh, maybe, I don't know. And then I tried movies, and that didn't work out too well. So so 5 years later, Lauren, I called him up. I said, hey, is that offer still stand? Or what's up? But and he was like, yeah, absolutely, you're my first choice. And so I just immediately stopped watching all the guys that were on currently, because if I did watch Letterman or I would end up imitating them. So I had to just stop and just start from scratch and just try to figure out my own way to go. And so I'm still figuring out, but we're 4 months in and we're still on the air.
Well, you do some odd things. There's a thing I saw this week. Audience make under. You take people out of the audience and you make them uglier than they were.
Yeah.
Have you yet to come up with something that's actually too bizarre for your producers? Are they letting you do anything you want?
No one's watching.
Bro, well, that's
fantastic. We're allowed to do it. We've done stuff that just flopped and just sat there. We had this one I thought would be big, but it didn't work. But it was an alien who was going to take over. He was going to take over the Earth.
Yeah.
But as he's about to take over the Earth, he's like interrupted all the monitors. The channel NBC. And as he's doing this, his wife is yelling at him behind the camera. It's like, who are you talking to? He's like, will you shut up? I'm trying to take over the Earth. He's like, oh, my. And they get in a huge fight, domestic fight. and he never gets to, he just embarrasses himself. It didn't work at all. It really tanked. I mean, it was crickets. And we're nowhere near crickets in our studio.
Can I ask a question? Have a question. I now see you in suits like every single night. Did you have to like get a whole bunch of new suits or something?
I totally did. Yeah.
Because you look like a grown up all of a sudden.
I'm going to take that as a compliment. Yeah. Thank you.
Did they say, okay, Jimmy, you got to wear a lot of suits now? And did they give you like shirts with matching ties and things? And somebody hook you up like that?
No. They kind of said that, you know, you do whatever you want. I was thinking like I could wear whatever. I could come out with a T-shirt or whatever. But I think as a host, I don't know what you guys are wearing now, but I would wear
virtually nothing.
Weird. It's weird, but it is hot out.
It is.
Radio. Like, I like to, you know, I remember actually being a guest on David Letterman. It's my first time I was a guest, and I went on and I got some hip stylist to style me, and they gave me this, I'm not kidding, like a $300 T-shirt. Huh. A T-shirt. But it was $300. And I got a $300 T-shirt and like $200 pair of jeans.
Is a $300 T-shirt like a $20 T-shirt with $280 stapled to it?
Yes, but you can't see where the $200
are. All right, got it.
And so I go on the show, and I'm so honored. I'm shaking. I mean, I love David Letterman. And I go on. He goes, hey, thanks for dressing up.
Oh, man.
I'll never forget it. I'll never forget that. And ever since then, I always wore a suit on a talk show because I almost wanted to explain to the audience, like, hey, this is like $600 worth of clothes.
This is the most expensive
dirtbag you've ever met in your life.
I got to ask you about this. When you were on Saturday Night Live, and I want to ask you if it's fair, but you had the reputation for cracking up in skits. Is that true?
Yeah, I definitely did. I mean, let me just first say out there that I'm not a good actor. So, I mean, if something's funny, I'm...
No, that's not true. We saw Taxi. We thought...
No, that was not a drama.
No.
It was a comedy.
Oh. Does the fact that I wept mean that there's something wrong with me?
I don't know what to tell you, but when I'm working with like Will Ferrell and you know Horatio Sanz, they would just Will would change things up on air to make me laugh because it was a live show.
Right.
So like we do the cowbell sketch, for instance, where he's playing a guy who's banging a cowbell to a Blue Oyster Cult song, and he's just hitting the cowbell way too hard so you can't even hear the band. That's the joke.
Right. Yeah.
But on air he wore this really short shirt.
Yeah.
And every time he would lift the cowbell, his gut would fall out. And I was laughing so hard and trying not to laugh. Like I couldn't turn. And of course, when it was my turn to talk, he pulled the sunglasses off and looked at me, and he was sweating. And he was a sweaty, crazy man with his gut hanging out. And I was like, I just lost it.
Well, Jimmy Fallon, we are so glad to have you with us, but we have invited you here today to play a game we're calling...
The first 20 audience members into the auditorium tonight were given genuine Carl Castle sports coat elbow patches.
Last weekend, as I'm sure you know, the 30th anniversary of the infamous Disco Demolition Night at Chicago's Comiskey Park. That became a riot, caused the forfeiting of a game, which remembered as one of the dumbest ballgame promotions in history. In honor of that bit of local lore, we're going to ask you three questions about other baseball promotions. Answer two questions right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners. Carl, who is Jimmy Fallon playing for?
Jimmy is playing for Danielle Rouse Holifield of Jacksonville, Florida.
All right, ready to play?
That was my first girlfriend.
Really?
Yeah, it's a weird coincidence.
Now you can make it up to her, man. Here
we
go.
Oh, my God. Very nice.
First question, one of the worst baseball promotions ever, maybe the worst, was at a game on June 4th, 1974, in Cleveland, the Indians versus the Rangers. What was the promotion? A, Chinese throwing star night. B, unlimited 10-cent beer night. Or C, cage match fight night.
I would have loved this night, and I would have shown up. I'm going to guess 10-cent unlimited beer
night. Yes, 10-cent beer night is gone down in history.
That is a nightmare.
The game had to be forfeited.
Honestly, who could have predicted that 10-cent beer night would go wrong?
Yeah, drunken fans.
I mean, that is a mistake.
Yes. The umpire finally called the game after a hunting knife landed near his foot. I'm out of here.
You have the seventh inning stress, the eighth inning fight.
And the ninth inning projectile vomit. Which is really awesome.
All right. Another promotion that went awry happened, as is often the case, at a minor league park when the West Michigan Whitecaps decided to do what at one of their games in 2006? A, release 20 dogs and 20 cats into the stands just to see what happens. B, drop $1,000 bills from a helicopter. Or C, fire popcorn at the fans with an air cannon.
I'm going to say they dropped $1,000.
You're right, Jimmy. They did. They dropped $1,000 into the stands in the ensuing melee. As adults grappled with children for the money, two people
what
were hospitalized.
What year was that?
This was just a few years ago. 2006 they did this.
What's wrong with people?
I don't know. Last question. This is a promotion that happened last year. It was linked to a current event. Happened June 13th, 2008. It was for the Macon Music team. Was it A, Hillary Clinton pantsuit day, B, Elliot Spitzer night, or C, Larry Craig wide stance day?
I'm going to say it's... wow. I'm going to say it's Hillary Clinton pantsuit.
Hillary Clinton pantsuit day, where anybody wearing a pantsuit gets in free. No, it was actually Elliot Spitzer night at the ballpark in honor of Elliot Spitzer, who at that time was caught in his prostitution scandal.
Oh, my God.
Because of Client 9, the ninth fan into the ballpark got prizes, and everyone who had ever resigned a position in shame got a discount. Carl, how did Jimmy Fallon do in our quiz?
Well, Jimmy, you weren't perfect, but you had two correct answers, and that's good enough to win for Danielle Rouse Hollifield.
I love you, Danielle!
Yo! Jimmy Fallon is the host of NBC's Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Jimmy, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you guys so much. I had a blast.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.